Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, our next guest is a legend of rugby, having represented England 97 times as a hooker from 2008 to 2018. He was named the England captain under the Aussie coach Eddie Jones for the Six Nations Championships back in 2016, where England went on to win the Grand Slam and win back-to-back Six Nations titles. But he's been here in Dubai for 18 months, and he's here to speak about some of the work that he's doing in regards to traumatic brain injury with DP World's Aviv Clinic. And it's great to welcome into the studio rugby legend Dylan Hartley. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
It's great to see you in here and be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, thanks for having me. And I was just saying, this might go a bit longer than 15 minutes. I told my wife I'd be 15 minutes, half hour. But you guys have got a pretty cushy gig here. Like, you've got a big screen TV for those people that don't know. And they've got the golf. They've just got the golf on.
Don't tell anyone what we do here.
Maybe I need to get into radio. We did joke that I've got a face for it. But if you're going to sit here and watch golf all day and talk sport and a bit of biz, I think that's basically what I do.
Well, you've been in the country 18 months. How's your golf game? Have you picked it up since you've been in the country?
Still struggling. Definitely picked it up, but just one of those games that keeps you very honest. I try and get out once a week with a few people. Everyone expects that sort of sporting prowess to kind of cross over into sport.
Yeah.
And I try and remind everyone that I was terrible at rugby, actually. I was just a really good competitor, and I played a position that no one else really wanted to play. But yeah, no, the golf is... It's just one of those things I think I'll live with. I'll always be struggling at it, but I absolutely love it. There's not many places where you can surround yourself with green out here and get out for 4 or 5 hours as well. So, yeah, big fan.
And enjoy yourself. Well, you're here, obviously. I mean, we'd love to touch on your rugby career and obviously the Six Nations and everything else, but primarily you're here because you want to talk about some of the work and the challenges that you face post-retirement with some of the, you know, the physical and the mental challenges you've had. I know, coming from a rugby union and a rugby league background in Australia, you know, it's big challenges for the sport and many contact sports that are facing with these issues. Personally, how hard was it for you to put your hand up and start to speak publicly that you felt that things haven't been quite right since you retired from rugby?
Well, there's two parties, I suppose. There's guys still playing, then guys that finish, and I obviously finished, and there's a bit of there's a lot of noise around legal stuff at the moment with head knocks, concussion, dementia, all these sorts of things with retired players, and I didn't want to get involved with that, so I just kind of went off, trailblazed, I suppose, off into the desert by myself out here. And I didn't think it was a very good way forward to go and sue the game or pursue the game for remuneration when it's given me so much. You know, I was struggling with a few sort of issues, symptoms that I needed to get on top of. And I suppose part of that for me was exploring alternative treatments and methods and a way forward. Because for me, you know, the game gave me so much, like I said. And then to go kick the game, that it gave me so much, and to try and get something out of it, I didn't think it was the right way. And I thought the only way forward was just try and make myself better. So, you know, my symptoms included things like chronic fatigue. I was really sensitive to certain noises. You know, we've all got superficial sort of charm, and we can get through a networking or a meeting or a dinner and we can do these things, but it would knock me sideways, right? So I could only do one or two things a day. exercising would knock it out of me. And that's not because I'm overweight. But no, there's just all these little things. I developed a bit of a stammer or a stutter. I was dropping things. So when I was unlocking the door, I would drop my phone out of my hand. So my brain wasn't talking to my left hand, you know. So there's all these little things chipping away. And in my gut, I knew that something wasn't quite right because I played a fairly attritional position. The game's Hard Knocks, as we all know. But the position I played was certainly... I was susceptible to far more sort of head contacts, and I had a few sort of public concussions as well. And look, I played the game for 16 years, and training methods and culture around the game when I first started was slightly different to how it is now. So look, I came out here. You're only going to have to ask me one question, by the way.
Yeah, this is good. I've got my eye on the golf.
You go to the bathroom, I'll just take over. I'll take your fee as well. But no, it's just one of those things that I wanted to get better, and I'd explored things, everything from training to diet to breathing to meditation to hyperbaric therapy. And it just coincided that the Dubai chief executive of golf, Chris May, said, "You've got to come see this clinic."
Yeah.
And this is Aviv and JLT, right? So I go up to this clinic and I was blown away. I'd left a high performance sporting sort of environment from England, Northampton. And I went to JLT and I saw something there that was superior to where I'd been. Mm-hmm. So this is like high performance sat in JLT, and I was living, you know, 5 minutes around the corner at the time. So I embarked on a 3-month program, you know, 2 hours of my day, 5 days a week for 3 months. And there was never a moment where I felt myself get better. But after 3 months of you know, breathing 100% pure oxygen in this compressed chamber, I came out the other side and my life changed completely. My symptoms were alleviated. I felt so much better within myself. And subjectively, I was telling people this and everyone was asking, "How do you feel? You know, do you feel like superhuman? What was the moment it changed?" And I couldn't tell you. But then I went through my testing and the data I got, my brain scans, because I did before and after brain scans. I did before and after testing. And when you see the black and white data, or... you know, that removes the subjectivity of what I felt, and I could actually see that I'd increased blood flow in my brain in areas that I was struggling with, like articulation, memory, reaction speed, all these sorts of things. So I basically got myself back to being a functioning human here in JLT, which, you know, Aviv Clinics, and then all the other stuff, you know, like it's a comprehensive program. I had physio every day since retiring from the game.
Because a lot of players, particularly, and you know, Neil, like, cricket's a bit different to rugby. A lot of rugby players have this intense program, and then when they stop footy, you know, they just stop training completely, and they can kind of go two ways. Dylan's kept himself in pretty good nick here, but a lot of the players don't, and we're seeing this concussion, you know, coming from that rugby. We were speaking before the show. You know, the culture was always, particularly, even I remember in my teenage years, if you got concussed, it was a sign of how good you were to get back out there, you know, if you were knocked over. And we're now seeing it impact even cricket, you know, where players get hit on a helmet with a cricket ball, and they had the concussion test.
See, the issue with concussion is, like you mentioned, that, you know, the ego comes into play, that, oh, there's nothing wrong. And unlike some of the other physical injuries where you get to see a swelling or a pain that comes in instantly, or bleeding because of a cut, you get to see the results instantly, and, you know, the doctor comes in and says, "Hey, you know what, let's step out." With concussion, that is not the case. It, you know, you could see the signs probably then, right then, or maybe 3 months later, or probably 2 years down the line. And that is what keeps people wondering. And you know, Dylan, you raised a very interesting point, that while it's difficult to call yourself in and say, "Hey, you know what, listen, I need to get checked because there are things that are happening to me," many of the people would say, put it to, "Hey, because I'm not training, because age is catching up," and would throw it on those relative factors as compared to actually going out and getting yourself checked.
I 100% agree, and this is where culturally the game's changed massively.
Yeah.
If you break your leg, you get a cast, or you're on crutches, you know, whereas the culturally now, head injuries are respected. And look, you cannot change cricket. You know, a ball's going to fly down that wicket and it could hit you in the helmet. You cannot change rugby. The foundations of the game are physicality. Yeah. But so concussions will happen. We want to mitigate that, and you know, through better coaching techniques, better refereeing, better understanding of how to tackle and whatnot, but it's still going to happen.
Yeah.
My biggest issue is, is signposting people on where to go when they do get concussed.
Yeah.
And this is what Aviv's done for me. So hyperbaric therapy, it may not work for 100% of people, but you've got to explore these things. If you know, and this is what my, I suppose my mission in a way to my community and rugby and sport beyond is to spread the word about my story, because I didn't want to leave any stones unturned, and I turned over a hell of a stone because I sorted myself right out. So yeah, if I can signpost people to alternative therapies, and oxygen therapy being one of them, that's my job done.
Who's noticed the biggest impact? Would family, friends, or your the people that you got in your life, did they perhaps notice the change before you did?
Like I said, we're
both all positive and negative once you'd gone through the treatments as well.
Yeah, we're all good actors, right? Like I said, when we're, and it's, you know, I pick my kids up from school and the teacher says they've been brilliant today, and they get in the car and have a meltdown. It's like, you know, they're in their safe place. And I suppose it's the same with me. I mean, I wasn't going home and having meltdowns, but I wasn't my best self at home. So I'd give you my best self, but yeah, then I'd be knackered and I'd have that burnout or that those symptoms I was talking about. And I'd go home and I wouldn't be the best dad, I wouldn't be the best husband. And I'd have to detach myself from my family, sit in a quiet room. Certain noises would sort of trigger me. So I think if anyone saw the best me, it would first be myself. In my gut, I know I go to bed at night not thinking I'm going to get early onset dementia like a lot of my contemporaries.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So this guy's 4 or 5 years older than me, 10 years older, who are coming out with these stories. And when you know that, and you know you're next in line, I was going to bed with that gut feeling that something wasn't right.
Right.
So myself, and then directly my wife and my kids would see a better me. And look, my ability to concentrate. There's one test that I did, and I improved 91% after 3 months, my cognitive endurance. Mm-hmm. And I was like, what the hell is that, you know? And they said, it's your ability to do multiple things for a long period of time. So my concentration span was terrible. And I said, well, I'm like Superman now. I'm 91% ahead. And they said, no, we've brought you back to zero. This is how far behind you were. And that explains how tired I used to get, and my lapses of concentration, and not being able to apply myself, and my working life, and all these things, right?
Do you think it may have even been impacting the last couple of years of your career?
100%, yeah. And then, you know, you retire and you got to work out a whole lot of stuff. You got to work out how to, you know, bridge that gap into how to position yourself in the real world with work and whatnot. So you're kind of answering a whole lot of questions while fighting, you know, trying to remain fit. You know, I was nursing an injury that I had to retire with and all this sort of stuff. And then you got this ticking and sort of clock about your head in the background as well.
Because so many professional athletes, you know, from the age of 16, someone's told you where to go, what to eat, what to do every 15 minutes of your life, essentially. And then you end up retiring and bang, you've got to cope with the next 40 years of your life. And you think maybe you put it down to, oh, this is just the change in routine. I'm not training like I used to. I'm not eating as well. And you can always just pass it off as something else.
Yeah, it's catch-22 being a professional sportsman. I was never an athlete, right? I'll just...
You were captain of England.
Yeah, but I was a sportsman. I wasn't an athlete. I was not athletic. There's not an ounce of athleticism in my body. But I was a professional sportsman, and was very much institutionalized, like you say. And I could be somewhere, do the job. But equally, it doesn't prepare you for what reality is.
Yeah.
There's so many transferable things of leadership and resilience and ability and routine.
Goal setting. And, yeah,
all that stuff. But then in the real world, like, that's great. But then you've got to do a whole lot of other stuff as well. Mm. So I think it's the ability to convert those sort of lessons from sport and then apply them to the real world is where I suppose I'm trying to get to in terms of being successful.
Yeah, aside from other things, how keen are you to keep on the rugby? Did you watch any of the Six Nations over the weekend? Because England, finishing third.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't the greatest result, but Ireland, having had a pretty poor World Cup, managed to do pretty well this year.
I don't think Ireland had a poor World Cup. They just failed to win one game. Look, I think the game at the top right now is so competitive. Italy are eighth in the world. And if you looked at that top eight, certainly the top six can all beat each other on their day. And the margins are so tight. You know, Scotland beat England one week, then England beat Ireland, and then Scotland run, then Scotland bloody lose to Italy. There's like no rhyme or reason to how things work at the moment.
And then I've got to struggle as an Aussie. We're not even in the top eight.
Oh my gosh.
For the first time. We're not. Well, I mean, this is a different conversation. We often talk about this, that I grew up as a rugby union kid, but the game's slowly dying in Australia. It's been eaten out by rugby league and Australian rules football. And it's, and your mate Eddie Jones came and went really, really quickly.
That's not his fault, though.
No, that's an example. So the background story of this is Eddie Jones coached Australia, went to England, had tremendous success with Dillon. They brought him back for the last World Cup. And then there were rumours within the first week of the World Cup that he's going to Japan after the World Cup.
Right, yes.
And he's since gone to Japan. And I think that, defending Eddie, he came back and, like a car, he took one look under the hood and went, oh, this is not going anywhere, and realised that he had to move on to better things. And that kind of sums up where the game is in Australia, unfortunately.
Yeah, you've got a fantastic sporting nation in Australia, and it pains me as a Kiwi, right, to say that. But you're hyper-competitive people, right? Yeah. And, from cricket to AFL. But with rugby union, you're competing with two other sort of contact sports or collision sports in AFL and rugby league. And they're just far more popular. So all the athletes out of high school, university, college, whatever you want to call it, they're going to go rugby league first, AFL first or second. Rugby union is down the pecking order. So they need to do something from the grassroots to change that perception of where you want to, what are you shooting for as a young athlete? Do you want to play league, AFL or rugby union? So it needs to happen a bit earlier.
Also, leaning on that and bringing Neil in, you probably didn't realise that's what Dillon has in common with Ben Stokes, captains that were born in New Zealand. Is this going to be the current trend going forward for the English?
He's really a proper sportsman. How to Win Friends and Influence People is a good book probably to describe my life. But he's an iconic sportsman for English sportsman.
I think you're being a bit hard on yourself.
No, I'm a genuine fan of what Ben Stokes does. And I don't even like cricket. I mean, if you're eating sandwiches and cakes, you're not playing sport.
Have
you seen a rugby bench compared to a cricket bench?
Well, I bring a lot of friends and a lot of friends enjoy T20, but the friends I know that don't like cricket often say the same thing. How could it be a competitive sport when you break for tea?
Yeah, but you talk to any, Sir Alistair Cook, and he explained it to me one day about being an opening batsman, and he's a very humble guy, and he basically said you've got people there just trying to take you out with this thing. I don't even know
what a cricket ball.
It's like a piece of concrete being thrown at you over and over again, and you're sitting there as an opener just trying to wear it in,
Dodge bullets, essentially.
Yeah, my respect went up for the game after that. No, I agree with you, though. T20, very entertaining.
Well, I mean, see, the entertainment is one fact, and then, the rules of the game and the flow of the game comes into play. You mentioned something about grassroots level sports and, injuries, and especially the head injuries. At the grassroots level, and correct me if I'm wrong, if the kids are taught properly to not be as careless, would it change the game? Because there was a research that was done at the age group boxing levels where they removed the helmets that the kids wear, and there were much lesser head injuries that came out of the game. And then it was proposed that the headgear be removed in the age group boxing. Never happened because of the Boxing Federation. But there was a real case study that was put out that if the kids are taught to protect their head and not give them the helmet, then listen, you have a helmet, don't worry about that, there will be lesser injuries and thus lesser concussion and thus lesser traumatic brain injuries.
It's a really good point. And if you look at NFL, for example, they wear those helmets and they think they're bulletproof, right? Yeah. And it's almost a negative thing. But the grassroots thing is really important. And this is where culturally and the training techniques and coaching techniques got far better. When I was a kid, you're a kid, to learn to tackle was like our dads down the local rugby club just said, go stop that kid, run at each other.
Yeah.
There was no sort of step-by-step walking steps. There's no head this side, wrap your arm. there was no education around that. So parents now, or our volunteers, are far better educated. Like the stuff we do at Dubai Sharks is unbelievable. The parents that we've got and the volunteers that we've got there, the coaching standards and education. Because parents now know there's a risk with playing every sport, right?
True.
So my kids can go play rugby. I'm not worried about my kids playing rugby because the education's there and we know the risk. There's a bigger risk to my kids sat at home sitting on a screen not playing sport.
By all means.
So they can go play rugby, you know. But again, these things will happen and this is where we need to know what to do. So when you break your leg, you go to the doctor and he patches you, or you cut yourself, he patches you up.
Yeah.
But when you hit your head, what do you do?
Yeah.
You know, you're sent home with an ice pack on your head. And then, you know, what happens after that? And this is where the signposting to hyperbaric oxygen therapy and Aviv should be happening. And kids certainly have got to go to school. They've got to do all these things. They've got to concentrate. They've got to focus. As an adult, if you have a car accident, you get concussion, or if you play rugby, you stay home for the week. You stay home for 2 weeks. Your kids, you send them off to school. There's no bumps or bruises. You don't know what's going on. And I suppose the other thing, I've got a friend who sent his son to Aviv, and he struggled with a bit of autism. When I say a bit, that's probably the wrong way to say that. He's got autism and he's gone up. And the significant improvements that he's had since being in that program, like, he's a different child.
Wow.
So, you know, I just think the signposting thing for me as a treatment, an alternative treatment maybe, not such a mainstream treatment, you've got to explore it. If you're suffering with things, look it up, because, you know, I've got friends that have been using this for years with rehabbing injuries, Achilles injuries, or I had my hip operated on when I was in the, and I recovered. I was back exercising within 10 days, and the doctor thought I was insane, but, you know, I kind of am a bit insane, but you know, a background of professional sport, and I was in an environment where I was
single-minded, you were going to overcome it. Well, look, we've gone way over time. I think Dylan would love to have you back and maybe even find time to ask you a third question in a conversation.
Yeah, sorry. I've gotten that.
At some point, no. It's been brilliant to chat to you because, you know, we obviously wanted to touch on Aviv Clinics. It's aviv.clinics.ae, brought to you by DP World, which is that oxygen therapy program. If people do want to get in touch and use it, and we'd love to get you back and to speak all things rugby and maybe even touch on a newly found love of cricket, if we can maybe get you over the line at some points.
Good on you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much. Dylan Hartley, the former England captain, as we said, that website, if you want to be a part of it, it's aviv-clinics.ae.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, thanks for listening to another TSB TalkSport Business Podcast.
And don't forget, if you want to hear the full show, we're live every weekday from 3 to 7pm across the UAE on Talk 100.3.
Or you can listen to us via the Big Fan TV app.